Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
Narila, we're going to go to you here. You were given the task of identifying a potential of what could have happened by pouring through the data received from the Daystrom Institute for a now understood to be rogue scientist named Bragoff. You have all this information. His data is a lot of subspace theory, warp bubble theory. It's all sorts of like theoretical type stuff. And also on how to modify transportation and how to weaponize these sorts of things. I'm going to give you a pretty standard 2 difficulty roll to try and piece together what you're looking for here. So how would you like to approach it? Give me your attribute and department or attribute and discipline, switching to advanced language there. Give me the attribute and discipline on how you're approaching it, and then we'll go from there and see what you get.
Insight science?
I think that insight science would be perfectly reasonable. You said insight science, gain useful data from, or devise a rep hypothesis from incomplete data. That is perfect. That is exactly what you're trying to do. Yep, because again, what he dealt, the Daystrom Institute is very much dealing with like theoretical applications and stuff like that, and anything that he was doing through official channels would definitely be considered incomplete. So go ahead and fire me your role. Are you asking for any assistance from anybody in your department or the ship's computers or anything like that?
I would probably have assistance.
I'd say the ship computer would probably be your best bet because Tanari is otherwise occupied working on things. There's probably nobody else in the department that you would trust with this as the superior officer in there. But I would think you could definitely run through the computers and get some models from the computer. Tobor, would you do the honors and roll for the DC? Okay, so Nerila, you start with your 2d20s.
I'm looking at my talents right now to make sure nothing's relevant.
I'm also going to be a little bit of a stinker here. I am going to burn one threat to go ahead and make the difficulty range bigger. So it's going to be a complication range of 19-20 instead of just 20. And the reason for that really is because of the amount of data that you're having to pour through. There's a lot there. So there's a lot of... He probably has like multiple conflicting papers on stuff like that. So just tossing that out there.
Okay, so if I am assisted by the computer, the science officer, I can generate a bonus momentum.
I like it. Hot dog, look at that.
And what are your other 3 talents that aren't your ESP?
Bold science, unconventional thinking, and untapped potential.
Sweet.
All right, so if you spend one or more threat to get roll extra dice, you get a reroll. And then if you spend threat or momentum after you roll one of your challenge dice, and if you get a delta, you get an extra momentum. Actually, if you get a 1, you get 1 momentum, 2. And if you do a delta, you get a momentum, and Josh gets a threat.
I like it. Okay. If you spend the threat that I just used, basically if you give it back to me, you can roll 3 dice instead of 2. And
do that
will give her both. She'll be able to roll the challenge dice. Can she use both talents basically on the end result? So you get to roll 3 dice. Let's start there. And we'll see what happens.
And I'm trying to get lower than my insight plus science. Is that
correct? Yeah. What is that number?
That number is 15.
Okay, cool. All right. So what I need to know is how many below 15s you got and if you got any 19s or 20s.
I got 2 successes and then 120.
120. All right, cool.
However,
yep.
Before that,
yeah.
The ship's going to roll to assist on a 13, which I believe computer science does not assist. However, she's as bold science, so she can reroll one die.
All right,
which so probably is that 20?
Yep. You can reroll one of the successes if you want, but that's...
I think I want to reroll the 20.
All right, I think that's
a hard decision, though, but...
Yep.
And if I reroll it, that's also a success.
Okay, cool. So you got 3 successes, and you also get to roll your challenge die to go ahead and see... if you get some... So you gain 1 momentum for the challenge. You gain a bonus momentum because you spent threat. And well, then...
The bonus momentum comes from being the science officer doing science officer stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Yep. All right. Then you also get to roll your challenge die to see if you gain potentially more momentum slash give more threat.
A 6, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. It's been... It feels like a little while. Yeah,
4. So nothing. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, there you go. That's it. You put the threat back up to 8. Got 3 momentum to work with, so that's great. And so basically what you are able to piece together from the computer's whirs and chugs for a while to go ahead and spit through all the data. And what you have come up with is a plausible, believable scenario where a ship using some of the travel technology that is explained in his documentation, using weapon technology, which is within his papers also, could very much have basically surprised a planet like this if they weren't watching for it, right? There are some unknown pieces of data that when you get to the planet, you're going to want to get from the sensor information. And in particular, what you're going to want to see is if their sensors picked up any kind of arrival information. What the computer's giving you is very like theoretical. Yep. Everything that's in this paperwork, if these are the things that you think this ship has, yes, this would work to go ahead and attack this planet in this way. But there would be some sensor information to get from the planet to confirm that, and the computer has given you some prompts to go ahead and when you're pouring over that sensor data, when you get it, presumably if they have it, you'll be able to ascertain that, yep, we can confirm that this is what was done. Your theory is plausible, and it would need to be backed up by a little bit of information from the sensor information on the other side to confirm that, yep, these are what we would expect to see if this is what we would expect to see in residual subspace. This is what we would expect to see in terms of like weapon patterns. This is what we would expect to go ahead and see if something was doing this. And if you see those markers, then yes, you will be able to go ahead and piece that together. So are there further questions that you wish to ask from the data beyond that?
Presumably, I imagine this would take quite a while to get through. Is that...
Yeah, but it also has quite a... Like you guys are on transfer. You guys have some time. You have enough time for it to process through before you get to the planet.
Okay. Then, yes, as soon as I finish processing, I'll put together the information that I'm thinking, I will present.
I'm running through all your baseline assumptions and checking. This is exactly what I was looking for and wanting to. So with this information, go ahead and start programming the sensors to scan for these residual signatures and all the stuff we're going to need when we come out on the other end and start our investigation.
Okay, cool. And by that you mean to program the Delamis Christian sensors to go ahead and pick up this information also?
Yeah.
Sure. So
we're going to do our own scans and see what residual stuff we can find.
Yep. So sensor modifications would be a fairly routine task. It's a 1 difficulty challenge to go ahead and do that. So how complicated the task is depending on how good you are at modifying sensor modifications. So would you like to do that, Nerila?
Would this be something that I would normally do, or is it something that Tenari would do?
No, the science team would be programming.
Okay.
Like, you don't need to fix any of the hardware.
Okay, then absolutely yes, I'll do that. Would that be a, I don't know, science?
Yeah, it's like probably like control science maybe? Or okay. Let's see.
Or reason science?
Again, reason science is again like it's like research hypothesized stuff. Like it's like the other side of insight, right? It's insight's more studying, where reason is more like native. But I would say definitely control science. I think that's to go ahead and program them in. Yep.
And would this be assisted by the ship's computers?
You wouldn't be able to, because you have to modify the ship's computers to do it. So you can't, like, you have to tell the ship's computers to do the new thing. So I'd say you probably can't use the computers in this case because you're telling the computers to do something. But you do have three momentum.
I was just saying, use, you know. Can I use a momentum?
Absolutely, you can use a momentum.
All right. I got a 1 and a 2.
Oh, okay. So that's like, one and 2 would both be criticals. So that's 4 successes. And you only needed 1.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a focus that applies to make that 2 and 2 a critical.
What focuses do you have?
I have chemistry, astrophysics, virology, PPE, gear development, xenobiology, and forensic science.
Astrophysics, looking for the sub.
Astrophysics would work, yeah.
So since you spent a momentum, roll your d6 again for your untapped potential.
Appreciate you guys walking me through some of these things.
Well, I got a 1. Only made it through a couple of games, Lacey. It takes a little bit to pick it up and remember it all.
It's a very different system than I'm usually used to, but I like it.
Yeah.
So with a result of 1, you generate a bonus, 1 bonus momentum.
Look at that.
Because you're just that good at science.
Look at that. Narila filling up the momentum pool for you guys. That was very right before the action when everything's about to go ahead and happen. That's fabulous. So.
She blinded us with science.
With that, Narila programs the sensors to go ahead and pick up these particular hallmarks. The system is in a nebula that makes communication difficult, which is why you weren't able to necessarily communicate with the tug. But before you get there, Tobor, since you were the one that made the decision on what speed you'd like to go there, I'd like you to roll me a challenge dice, please.
All right. 1 challenge die.
A 2. Fabulous. Cool. Excellent. So as you approach the planet and you drop out of warp, you can see that you're close enough that you can see these super orbital station platforms and stuff like that that are damaged. And there is the large USS Temerary tug already there. Bright red hull. Like, it's a really kind of magnificent looking ship. If you haven't seen any of the tugs, they're cool looking. They're like very long. It doesn't have it on it, but it has a fitting that can go underneath it. So if it was supposed to tug something like the size of the Delamis Christian or a larger ship, it could go ahead and do. But the Temerary, the tugs are like class 5 ships. So it's a big boat. And when you drop out of warp, do you signal it when you drop out of warp?
It comes. Hail the Temerary for me.
When you hail it, a Temerian with 4 pips on his collar appears on your view screen. So, hey there, this is Captain Grigoff. Nice to meet you. How you guys must be the Delamis Christian, yeah?
Like Commander Tobor of the Delamis Christian. Pleasure to meet you, Captain.
Fabulous. I'm Captain Grigoff. I'm very happy to go ahead and meet you. Really, we don't get the chance to work with many of you Saber class folks very often. Really, it's my honor to be here supporting you today. I'm really looking forward to it. And boy, these folks here on this planet, boy, they just really got themselves into a pickle here. This is a thing.
Very good. I will have my chief engineer and I will transport over and connect with you and see what data you've already collected.
Oh, sure. And we've already got some of the folks there now from the surface there. Even their teleporters are knocked out, too. They had to go ahead and shuttle up here to the boat. But yeah, we've got a couple of them on here. We've already been working through their schematics and everything. They're super helpful. They know these systems really well. But if you don't mind me saying so, they're a little outdated. It's crazy.
So we are out here on the edge of Federation space. So
I didn't even know some of this stuff was still in use. Like, I think that some. I wonder if James T. Kirk came over here and wired some of this stuff by himself before he even had his 4th pip.
Indeed. Very good. My chief engineer and I shall transport over here shortly.
With the nebula, if you don't want to transport over, if you want to shuttle over, that's totally fine. There's a lot of interference out here, so that's it. I don't know how much power you... I don't know how fast you guys got here, but I know that it's... Just be careful. The captain is very willing to... He seems very cooperative. Basically, he's got some folks from the surface up on his ship, and that they're starting to work through, starting to reason through the problem. He's been here for, you know, half a day or so already. Sorry about the communication blackout. We didn't know if you could hear us. We couldn't hear you. It's just a big old knot up there.
Very good. All right, we'll be over shortly. Christian out.
Tap my cup. Him off like there. It's like, yeah. Okie dokie. You betcha. We'll have the tea on for you.
I tap my comm badge. Bridge to transporter room 1.
This is transporter room 1.
Chief, how are we doing with this nebula garbage and our ability to maintain transporter locks.
There's definitely garbage out there. It's not the hardest environment I've ever teleported through, but it's also not the best.
All right. Would you transport your cat through this to another ship?
Sir, I don't have a cat.
Beloved pet. Childhood pet.
I had an Andorian chinchilla once when I was a kid, but what does Mr. Whifflespark have to go ahead and do with this?
I was just attempting to gauge your level of comfort of using the transporters in this environment.
I guess I could try to... I'm sure that there's something in the biology lab that I could try to transport if that's what you need me to do, sir. I don't...
No, I was... Never mind. I was...
Sir, if you're worried, we can go over on a shuttle and with a few pattern enhancers.
I'm more worried about our ability to get back in one piece. And why attack this planet?
Are we all present?
Sure.
Okay. Well, sir, we could, working off of Tanari's idea and your concern, take down a shuttle with some transporter pattern stabilizers and set them up. That way we have two options should we need to leave the planet, and a more safe means of making sure reinforcements or additional supplies can be beamed down.
We're going over the Terramary first, but I get that.
And over there too, sir.
If we use the shuttle to transport ourselves to each of the areas we're going to repair first and set up pattern enhancers where we go, we'll set up a network of safer ways to transport to throughout the system.
Yeah, and you guys have enough shuttles on board the Christian that you could send a security team, two security people and an engineer with team pattern enhancers or whatever, and basically do that while you guys are over on the Tamarari talking through strategy or whatever.
All right.
We can always replicate more pattern in here.
Yeah, you'd need a dozen or whatever. However many you would need, you could create. That's...
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's no integrity. I'm just concerned that a star system in which it is difficult to transport in was chosen as the target of this attack. What else is hiding out there?
I also assume we're going over with the modified tricorders.
Of course. All right, go ahead. I reach out, I tap the down to shuttle bay, prepare the Kitty Hawk for departure. We'll be there in 10.
Hi, sir.
Lieutenant Najjar and Nilan start scanning per our plan to try and find the evidence we need for the nature of this weapon. Mr. Najjar, be on high alert for anything suspicious.
Understood, sir. I take it I'm remaining on the Christian?
You have the con.
Then Najjar will spend his time watching the scanners.
On the way over, I had the assignment to keep an eye on Jinnok's use of the computer.
Yep.
Can we assume that I've set up some kind of program to keep an eye on what he's doing, and I can fill in Najjar as to how the program works so that he can operate it?
Absolutely. Even then, I would say that its output is spinning directly to a pad that you have, and I'm sure you're a smart enough cat to go ahead and say, if he stays on documents A, B, and C, I don't care. If he goes to document D, I want to know, but I still don't care. But if he goes to document E, that's a problem. I'm sure that you put like safeguards and gate.
Yeah, there'll be several files there, like alerts if he goes out of certain range, but I also want a file for Najjar that shows everything he goes into so that Najjar can, if he wants to, go over everything.
Totally, absolutely.
He looks at that gleefully. And as you hand it to him, he was starting to look a little uncomfortable as he approached the chair. But as you hand that to him and his eyes light up, that hesitation disappears and he just finishes the walk and has a seat and starts going over the data.
All right. And Tobor, you and Tanari are going over to the Tamarari?
Yep.
All right. Fabulous. So it's a short trip. You guys can park relatively close to each other. No issues there. Kitty Hawk goes from point A to point B. And when it lands in the shuttle bay, again, the same Tamarian that you saw on the view screen is there, along with a couple of other officers of various ranks from the vessel. And then there are two individuals who are of a species that you don't recognize. Let me give you their description here.
How do you spell the Tamarian?
Yeah, I will drop that. Let me drop that in the chat.
Perfect.
But his name is Monch Gigroff. And I'll drop that in the chat. And the species name, the species, so the planet, the species, they call themselves the Zunions. Much so, their planet is Zunion 3. They call themselves Zunions. And Zunions have a thick, slightly iridescent skin, ranging from a pale blue to a deep emerald. It emits a faint luminescence. Faces are angular. They feature angular cheekbones, almond-shaped eyes that are yellow to gold. They vary from individual to individual. Heads are slightly elongated, with a prominent crest running from forehead to the back. It seems like, actually, do you have xenobiology?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Then that's what they look like. You can't make any assumptions about why any of those things would be, but that's basically what they look like. Yeah, and step out of the Kitty Hawk. And Captain Gigeroff, you must be Commander Tobor. Welcome to the ship. And I would assume, so we are merely a support vessel here. We are here to help you. I would assume that as the ship of the line that's here, you've got command of the situation here. We would be taking orders from you. And whatever we can do to go ahead and help, sir, we are at your disposal. Just want you to understand that pips or no pips. No, there's no, we're all on the same side here, but we're taking our orders from you.
I appreciate that, Captain. That is very gracious of you.
It's really the way to. That's the way that these things are done. We're a support ship. However, we can be helpful. We are limited focus, but the Temerary is really good at what she does. And like that's, but that's, but limited focus. We're not the Swiss Army knives of the Federation like you are there.
This is my chief engineer, Lieutenant Tenari.
Captain Gigeroff just shakes your hand wildly, Tenari. It was really nice to meet you. Really, the engineers are going to be so really important here, Tenari. I really, you know, Tobor, fabulous. I'm really glad that you were able to go ahead and bring one of your really smart dudes over here. That's going to be very helpful here. These folks, boy, they're just really bent over a barrel here.
Well, let's get to work and start figuring out exactly how bad it is and what information we are going to need and start building a plan to prioritize repairs.
Sure. Let me introduce you to the fellers that are with me here. So the dude here to my right, his name is Zixar, pointing to two Zunians that are over both of his shoulders. This is Zixar. He's a really whiz-bang mechanic there. He's their chief engineer. He knows how all these systems are supposed to be working. And then the other one over here over my shoulder, this is Ralik. Ralik, he's a really hot wrench. He's a really good dude. He's a tech specialist. These guys have been helping me through a lot of the understanding of how their systems are supposed to be working and everything, so we can work out some sort of a plan. You're certainly not trying to step on your toes there, Tobor. Just making sure that, while we were here, just trying to go ahead and get some of the information ahead of time.
No, not at all. I appreciate the initiative, Captain.
I actually look forward to working with them.
And is he a Temerian?
He is a Temerian.
I'm just having trouble remembering what species they are. Is this the one?
Oh, they're the super old ones. Hold on one second. Let me.
That's not Darmok and Jalad, is it? No.
You're right. They were the Temerians. Yeah, yeah.
It's still like my second favorite Star Trek movie.
Uh-huh. He's a Lumerian.
Lumerian. Lumerian. So he's got they've got the thingy on the birthmark on the forehead, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Now I know.
Okay. So yeah, so he introduces you to the two technicians that are on the ship with him. Said, I suppose it's probably best to go ahead and step, let's go to my ready room so we can go ahead and go over what we've already got and see what we have. I will say too that while we're on our way, we should send you, we've got some information. They were able to get some sensor readings before and like during the attack. I think, you know, that information, I don't know if that would be helpful to go ahead, because we still don't know who the ones that did it. And I, no one's really know how they were able to get here so quick. Certainly be willing to go ahead and give that information to you and your team. Your ship's programmed to make those kind of decisions. That's our computer's good, but I bet you it's nothing like yours.
Let's see what we got and take it back to the Christian and run it through the scanners.
Sure. Whatever we've got. Mi data es su data, right?
Tobor's eyebrow twitching just a tiny fraction.
Well, I'll admit, Captain, I've been hearing about these new tugs for years. If it weren't for the crisis we were on, I'd love to get a tour.
Oh, sure. Absolutely, Tenari. We'd be happy to go ahead and show you around. Like I said, big old warp engine in this boat, in this boat, because we're used to tugging vehicles that are like the size of yours and bigger out of when they get into their own little kerfluffles there. But that's how we were able to get here so fast, is we could really crank on this thing. We can pull 9.8 on a good day, 9.9 if we really need to, if we're not pulling anything. If we're pulling anything, then we're probably closer to like warp 5, warp 6. But
heard during one of the trials, one of these things actually pulled the star drive section of a galaxy class.
It's, we've done some pretty amazing things. Yeah, the duty order of these things, these tugs, they've really done some yeoman's work on this, kind of throughout the Dominion War. Yeah, it was a hairy time. We had to go ahead and do some really crazy things with these things.
Like, Tobor's just diving into the data while they're talking in the background.
So what Tobor sees in the data as he's looking through is, it seems like the other half of the puzzle from when we were talking earlier. Like, you know, what you were able to get out of the Daystrom information was, like, the theory about what this would look like if it was happened. And it would seem that the sensor data may be able to provide the other half of that. It's definitely the type of data that you would be looking for to confirm that theory. It would definitely be something that you would want to get to Narila to go ahead and crunch through the models and get back into the Christian. So as you guys walk to the ready room. Sorry, were there other questions or?
No, we're
okay.
I'm just making polite conversation with the captain while we're talking.
Oh, and he is happy to converse for as long as you would like to, Tanari. That is not. He is no shortage of conversation topics. Totally, and he's absolutely sincere in his statement that he'd be willing to go ahead and show you around and everything like that. Mm-hmm. When you get to the ready room, Gigruff looks to Khan, would you pull up the communication channel that we had down to the surface there? It's not great, Tobor. I'm going to say the radiation around here is nuts, and that nebula is really wreaking havoc on pretty much everything. But we were able to go ahead and speak with one of their security personnel. His name's Tovan. He's responsible for Zixar, what is it that he does? And Zixar is like, Security Chief Tovan is in charge of defense and security of all of our orbital installations. So they establish a connection. It's a little grainy, but there is another Zunian on the other side of the screen. Again, you guys haven't been around very many Zunians. He looks roughly like the other two that are in the office here. So Tovan, it's Gigroff again, and I've got my friends here. There's another Federation vessel that's just arrived. This is Commander Tobor and Chief Engineer Tanari. They're here to assist. And Tovan very stoically looks at both of you and nods his head and says, yes, where are we? What information can we provide? And how soon can we get things back up and running?
I assume you've compiled the list of all system damage and have begun to prioritize what is necessary in order to restore orbit planetary-wide power, and which systems need to be fixed before the next one, and have already started that process?
Yes. There are two main vectors to their attack, it seems. The first one was planetary power. With a star as powerful as the Zunian star is, we rely almost entirely on solar power, and we harness it from suborbital stations, and he'll pop up a map of the planet, and there are various like suborbital stations spread throughout the planet. They capture the energy and then they transmit it down, but they have now been damaged. The other things which have been damaged is we have shield generators, which, because of the intense radiation which surrounds the planet, while our species has adapted over millennia to survive in such an environment, we have found that technologies which limit the amount of radiation which makes it to the surface makes our life more bearable and less. It certainly improves our life expectancy. But both of those systems have been severely compromised by this attack. And we can show you on our monitoring systems that it was a single vessel seemed to virtually appear out of nowhere before any sort of planetary defense systems could be enacted. In fact, the few systems that did respond, this vessel took them out almost immediately, as if it knew where they were. And then it proceeded on to go ahead and target key systems, which would impact the most number of persons that were on the planet, major population centers, things like that. We were able to get sensor readouts of the time before the ship approached and while it was attacking, and then ultimately when it departed.
We'll be keenly interested to see the sensor logs. I do have to ask, I'm not particularly familiar with the Zunian and Zunian 3. I do not assume you're in any kind of active hostility with any other political power in the region that would benefit from such an attack. There's the list that Josh of. Oh, yeah, those guys over there. We've been at war with them for 45 millennia, right? We don't know, but we don't know who attacked us, right?
No, we've basically keep to ourselves. This is not a system that has any strategic importance. It's a tough system to live in. We can't imagine why somebody would have targeted our planet.
That is what concerns me the most.
You and me both.
Very good. Thank you, Security Chief. I'm going to have my team look at the information you're sending over, and if I have any questions, I can come down to the planet.
So are you going to send that basically to Narila on the Dalamas Christian? Is that okay?
It's like Najar. Here's all the tactical data.
Yep.
Neelan, here's all the science data.
Ruff, while you're doing that, says, it's probably going to take them some time to go ahead and pour through that. So I put out a spread in the other room. We'd love you to go ahead and join us. And just while we're trying to figure out like what's the best way to go ahead and approach here, let's make sure we do this the right way. But if we can offer you a snack, we'd be happy to.
So
he hasn't eaten in a while. So that's...
So Josh, how well known is like the Lumerians and the whole thing with them got disseminated from... Is that a closely held cultural thing that they can do the emotional dump stuff? Or would we know that? Or was that like a deeply held cultural secret?
I don't think it's deeply held. I think that they're pretty...
Because like everyone on the Enterprise was super surprised by it.
Yeah, but that was 200 years ago. So,
no.
200, but...
20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. However long ago.
It was episode Next Gen, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Lumerians from... Because they were in TOS, weren't they, originally? No, I guess not. No. Yeah, no. It's been documented, so I imagine by now it's known, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Again, I probably don't have enough data points, but just from my general years of diplomatic training and whatnot, is he actually gregarious, or is he, like, covering up for own inadequacy? I want to do, like, a... I don't have empathy or telepathy like the Beta Zed, but I got like years of diplomatic training.
Yeah. You're trying to see if this is a front or if he's actually like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do ins command?
Sure. That sounds just fine. And I would say you're used to reading people. It's a two.
All right. Diplomacy, would that help?
Diplomacy.
The focus.
Yeah. I would say, diplomacy. You know, you're used to like reading people and making decisions about how they actually are and how to approach situations. Sure.
Perfect. I will spend one momentum. That should take us to five or six?
To five.
Yeah, five from six. Okay. Yeah. Insight command, 14 or less, a 3, and 11, and a 13. So four successes.
Cool. You can only gain one more momentum, so you're back up to full. Yeah, as far as you can tell, he's just a nice guy. Like, he is used to... You feel like he's being very transparent. These tugs are used to... They don't have to worry about command structure. They don't... Or not command structure. They don't have to worry about owning scenes and doing all the hard work. They are basically told where to go, told what to do. It's pretty simple duty. They pick things up and put them down. That's a...
And actually, with the extra momentum, I want to ask the question, like, is it common for a 4-pip captain to be in charge of a tug? Or is it like he's like often is like got assigned to tug duty?
It's not unusual because, again, they normally don't use their most decorated officers for duty like this. But it could be that he pissed someone off. That's certainly a possibility. It could also be that he just he enjoys his duty and he doesn't want to go anywhere else. That would be a line of questioning that you could certainly ask him. But yeah, it's probably not super common that an actual 4-pip captain is in charge of a tug. You can see that it'd be, you know, situations where the one thing about the tugs that they do, there are a lot of people on them. So that's one thing that kind of lends a lot of credence to an actual captain being on there. Because again, they're Category 5 ships. They're big. There's,
He also could have seen some rough action in the Dominion War and just does not feel comfortable.
Yep.
And
got some cushy duty. Yeah.
Yeah. He needs something easy.
Yep. So these tugs definitely did see some things. Like, that's for sure. You know, there's like a dozen of them that are this size.
Or during the war, he did something heroic and got promoted.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. There are a bunch of possibilities there. Certainly things that you could go ahead and talk to him about. So
I get an estimate on how long Narila and Najar are going to need for the crunch through that. And if it's more than an hour, we'll take him, Gregor, up on his offer.
Yeah.
And like, Tanari and I will go over like the plan on what was damaged and what priority with him while eating and talking, and I'm going to draw out his personal story from him.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Nereela and Najjar then. So Najjar, at Khan, you get a package of data basically from Tobor on the Temerary. It is sensor data before, during, and after the attack. It reports that a single vessel basically took out some key systems. And again, as we described earlier, it was like planetary power type stuff and the radiation screening that protects the planet from the radiation in the environment. You also note that there's some analysis that kind of comes along with the data from some of the security fact. They are talking about how there were some cascading failures, basically. So, like, we take out one system and it overloads another system and that system then fails, that sort of thing, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you basically get the tactical data, and I'll let you dive into that in a minute. And then you also get a second package of data, which is the science data, which is, again, like, sensor readings of what was going on, what their sensors picked up in the environment would seem like a complement to the work that Nereela was doing. So,
fair enough. Najjar would contact the science department and let Lieutenant Nereela know that she has a large packet of information coming to her, and happy hunting.
All right. So that packet is sent over. What would you like to do with the initial set of tactical data?
So the first thing that Najjar would do is look at the analysis that was already done. Actually, no, he won't. He'll save that for after. He wants to make his own first. He's going to look at the tactical data and basically just go over it in chronological order, looking specifically for information on systems targeted. He did notice enough to already know there was a cascading effect. He can't get that out of his head, so he'll look at, were all of these shots targeted to systems that would cascade like that? He'll look at the sensor data for all of the sensory data about when the enemy ship appeared, because it appeared suddenly. Mm-hmm. See if there's anything weird, incongruous, or not normal about it, like perhaps they've developed a blink drive from dark matter.
Yeah.
Looking at all of the information and data that was collected during the weapon's use. Yep. To extrapolate whatever he can out of how it functions.
Sure. Okay. What would you like to roll to get this information?
It's definitely security, because that's what he's approaching it from a tactical standpoint. I like both reason and insight, because I lean towards insight a lot with Najjar, because while he does have a logically thinking mind, a lot of what he does is based off of intuition and instinct and being able to look at all the facts with an unfocused gaze and connect those dots that aren't obvious.
Yep.
So I like insight, if you're okay with it. If not, I'll go reason.
No, insight is totally fine. Again, what I view the difference between insight and reason is that reason is like your gut instinct. It's what you feel is going on here based on kind of experience and everything like that, versus insight, which is you're looking at the data and making a data-driven conclusion. So if you're...
Isn't that backwards?
That's backwards, sir.
Yes, reason would be data-driven and insight would be your gut.
Interesting, because I rely a lot on the chart off continuing missions. When they say insight, they're talking about hypothesis from incomplete data versus reason, which is something unfamiliar. Yeah, okay, I guess I understand. Yeah, okay. All right, so yeah, flip those around.
I don't have complete data because I don't understand the weapon. I don't know how it works. Yeah. I don't know their tactics. Yeah. I'm trying to take data from the effects and figure out the cause.
Yeah, I guess insight is more like judging, right? Insight is more like you're judging. You're trying to go ahead and draw conclusions versus reason, which is where does the data lead me? Yep. Okay. So insight. I'll have to go ahead and say that. You said insight security.
Yes. And what is my difficulty, sir?
Just say two.
Okay. I will. It'll be more fun to buy a die with threat since I have bold security.
I like it.
So I'll buy one with threat. That gets me three dice to get two successes. That should be okay. Although, it's not like our momentum can go anywhere, and I might generate more. So what the heck? I'll take two momentum to buy another die.
Okay. If you're going to do that, then I'm going to go ahead and spend that threat that you just gave me to make the complication range higher. Okay. So you're dealing with a lot of data. You're trying... Their systems are older, maybe whole nine yards.
I have fantastic news. What is that complication range?
If I spend one threat, then I increase it by one. So the complication range is 19 to 20. Yep.
So that didn't help you. I did not roll a 19.
Okay.
I did roll a 20, however.
Okay, there we go. I'll take that.
So I did get a complication, but I have bold security, so I'm going to reroll that. That's why I spent the threat for the first one.
You bold people.
And that becomes a success. So now I have three successes.
You have three successes. Okay, so you
regain. That's why I had to tell you I had the 21st and taunt you with it before I rerolled it. Before rerolling.
All right, let me talk through all of your questions here. The first thing that I would say when you were talking there, the first thing that kind of stood out to me is how you weren't trusting the analysis, or weren't necessarily looking at the analysis that they provided, and you're noticing that report of cascading failures and looking at it pretty skeptically, right? Is that kind of accurate for what you're saying?
Skeptic, yes, but not because of any form of mistrust. More from the perspective of not wanting my conclusions to be influenced by their conclusions.
Sure.
Wanting to draw my own first and then review their report and see how much I agree or disagree with it.
Yep, sure. So I guess the first thing would be that their reporting and the sensor logs indicate, and everything shows, that it was a single sort of freighter-sized vessel that did the attack. So probably about the size of the Saber class, maybe smaller kind of thing. Yeah. And that's weird, right? Like that if you're going to attack an entire planet with like a weekend yacht, like that'd be weird, right? Now they did target the right things in the right order in order to produce these sort of cascading failures, right? They did not attack everything that has been damaged. You are seeing that they attacked maybe like one of the solar platforms, and then two other ones failed within succession, that sort of thing. And so that's, once you finally get around to their analysis, that's what they're saying, that's where they're going with the cascading failures, that, well, clearly, you know, the power demands in that area weren't sufficient for the loss of one of the solar stations, and that caused them to fail, that sort of thing. Yeah. But there is something about the fact that only one vessel did this, zipped in without planetary defense being able to respond, did the attack, and then GTFO'd so efficiently. There's something about the efficiency of it that doesn't feel right.
Doesn't feel right as in some kind of other advanced or experimental technology, or doesn't feel right as in they did know exactly what they were doing. They were aware of the planetary defenses because it seemed like they knew what they like. It was an inside job, right?
Yeah. So if you peek into the science data, you will see that they definitely, like, the sensors are definitely reporting all sorts of weird, uncharacteristic subspace distortions that happened before, during, and after the attack. So when we get to Narila crunching through the scientific data, we'll see where that leads us. But there is definitely evidence of something weird and subspacey happening during this attack. So that's for sure. But the other bit is also true, that it seems like either they got really lucky and just hit the right things at the right time, or that they knew what things to hit. And that they didn't actually, again, what they hit were like support systems. So like the radiation shielding, which makes their lives better but isn't necessarily fatal, is annoying, and they want to go ahead and get it back up and running. But it's not like it's going to cause mass devastation and cause people to start dropping dead in the streets, right? Same thing with the power requirements. Okay, sure. So there are like rolling blackouts and there are power system problems on the, which are going to cause fall-off issues. But it's not like they attacked like the actual cities, or they didn't, right. They didn't, like, you know, as far as a planetary attack goes, this is really annoying, but none of it's really deadly. And you can understand why they want to get all this stuff back up and running again, and why they need Federation assistance to do it. They were very happy that the Federation is there to assist. But there's something about the attack that's just like it's a little too precise and a little too convenient. And you're wondering, again, yeah, and especially with like the cascading failure part, where it's, if I shoot out a light bulb and somebody shuts off a light in another room, those events would look like they're connected, but they're not necessarily connected.
So unfocusing his gaze a little bit and looking at all of these systems and what they impact, knowing that obviously they weren't after loss of life or a specific tactical advantage against the planet for continued attack, because check it out, they left. What is the overall effect that these different systems are having? What's the bigger picture? What's the bigger impact on the planet, its population, local systems? Did it change the energy field? Not the energy field. Yeah, the interference that we have from all of the crap in the atmosphere, etc. Did it change that in any way? Is there an election going on?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, nothing like geopolitical that you can tell. It hasn't changed the background radiation in the star system. So these systems definitely seem to be affecting the planet itself and nothing like in the general atmosphere. But you're asking the right questions, right? About can we provide a motive? And that's the other thing that's sticking here, is that there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of motive here. But these are clearly...
I've got a motive theory already, but...
Yeah. But this is clearly some sort of... There's clearly some sort of subspace manipulation going on, both in their travel patterns, which you have seen, like, the Breen take advantage of, when you guys got abducted into the alien. They were right. Traveling through subspace-type distortions. And so that's grokking with what's going on here. And subspace weaponry, which seems to be potentially based in what you guys were already looking for.
So... Yep. Shifting his focus for a minute after comparing all of these things, do the planetary satellites and secure and the planetary defense system, etc., do any of them show a camera angle with an actual view of space at the time, as opposed to just sensor readings, to see what visually was there? Was it masked to look like a freighter, but it's not?
Interesting. You're asking the right questions. Is there anything like external to the, or is there kind of anything internal to the planet that would benefit some chaos and stuff like that? And in terms of what you're seeing for like effects on the ground, the bulk of the systems that were targeted for like mass amount of disruption, like the most amount of disruption. So like big population centers, stuff like that. Everyone on the planet is used to their new, cushy, less radiation-inflicted lives, and so they would really like to get these systems back up and running properly, and not being able to run their air conditioners or their food replicators is annoying.
What's the planet's main export?
What's that?
What's the planet's main export? Like, what's being disrupted by all of their lives being messed up? What are they?
Nothing of any consequence. Again, they trade in all sorts of different things. Like, but they don't have the only unobtainium mine in for 50 parsecs or anything like that. There's nothing particularly remarkable about the planet, and they tend to be fairly like they don't really export to other planets. Really, like they're spacefaring, but it's not like they are like some. They don't have like platinum mines or anything like that that would be particularly desirable. They tend to stay pretty much by themselves, which is why they've never seen any need to go ahead and join the Federation, really, is that there's nothing really in it for them. They don't really need it. You know?
Okay. I might be asking the right questions, but I'm not actually obtaining information. I'm out of questions.
Sure. Yeah. You've got the information that I was trying to convey when we were talking about the attack event itself. Oh, and yes. You asked if there was a picture of it, if one of the defense systems was able to go ahead and get an actual picture. Yes. And what is a roughly freighter-sized vessel? It's basically like black with some red markings. It looks like a Nausicaan vessel.
Like that Nausicaan vessel that escaped us from the probe?
No, so that was by the probe. You mean with the Zindi episode when?
No, the David Brazig ship that was taken over by the Epsilon creatures and sent out the torpedo probes, and it was going to be picked up by a unknown ship that we're like, that's a Nausicaan vessel.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
that one.
It sure looks an awful lot like that vessel. Whether it's the same one or not, I'm not going to go ahead and say. But it's
Grossly the same model.
Exactly. Both driving forward escorts. Exactly.
That picture will be in my report.
Yep.
And does this video or picture show anything revealing as the weapon is fired when it's used? Any visual effect?
It didn't on the video. It doesn't look like it didn't like fire like a laser or a torpedo or something. There was no like discharge from the vehicle, but the vehicle immediately appeared on the video. It didn't like you didn't see it like getting bigger or anything like that. It didn't nothing like that. Just was there. And then when the attack proper started and when it started seeing system disruptions, the video just got very grainy and staticky.
Okay. Any, based on the style of Nausicaan freighter that it is and what we know about them and any information I can pull from the computer, any additional external components, dishes or arrays that seem to be aftermarket?
That's impossible. You don't have the picture's not clear enough.
Not enough resolution. Cool. Thank you.
Yep. But it's not it has a gigantic satellite dish on it. If there was something additional, it'd be small. It wouldn't be big. All right, Narila, you get a boatload of sciency sensor data, and you are being asked to basically plug it into the computer model that you have already produced to see if this is the missing pieces to the puzzle that you unearthed earlier. So talk me through that. How would you like to do it?
I'm not sure I understand the question. And it feels pretty to take the sensor data and to plug it into the model that I designed seems fairly straightforward. Are you asking what parts of the data set?
No, what I'm asking you is what would you like to bid as far as an attribute and discipline for your challenge? So it'll be another, I think it was a 2 difficulty task last time. This is easier. So it'll be a 1 difficulty task to go ahead and plug this in and see if, because if you remember, the computer said basically that if these tools were being used, these are the kind of sensor readings that you would expect to see on the other side. What you have now are the sensor readings. And so what you're trying to do is to try to tell the computer model, do these two pieces fit together or not?
So perhaps science and reason?
Yep, I like science and reason.
All right, and you said it's a challenge 2?
The last one was a challenge 2. That was way more difficult. This is way easier.
So I have 2 dice, and can I use a momentum?
You can.
Successes.
3 successes. Okay, so you get 2 momentum back, so you guys are back up at full. You indeed find that based on the computer model and the hypothesis that this is the missing piece that the computer predicted that you would see if these models were being used. Both on the transport side of things, so how it was transporting seemed to be based on the subspace transport theories that you found in the documentation, but also on some of the weaponization angles you found definitely, they're maybe not exactly the signatures that were in the original research, but they're complementary, right? Other weapons don't do anything like this at all. And so there were 5 markers about what his subspace weapons would look like, and it probably hits 4 of them. So it's maybe not exact, and what you suspect is that maybe the research that you're looking at is an older version of the research and that the weapon is a newer version of that.
Is it possible that this research was used by someone who read it and recreated it, imperfectly, or does it seem more like it was an evolved process?
That's a very interesting question. I would be happy to let you use the momentum that you just gained to ask that. That requires a kind of a level of thought on that, yeah. Joe, is it 1 momentum or 2 for the... It's only 1 per question, right?
1 per question.
Yeah. So that is definitely a possibility that somebody has read the paperwork and either tweaked it or didn't implement it correctly. The issue is more that you are not aware of anybody else that would be able to do that other than the person that did this research. Whoever did this research is clearly involved in this development. There are just certain signatures that scientist to scientist you would understand that. Nope. The person that wrote this paper was definitely involved in the development of this information, of this technology, for sure. Even if somebody else improved it or if somebody else was maybe involved in installing it or whatever like that, there may have been other hands involved, but it's clearly based on this research and clearly the person who wrote this research. The research is super complicated, right? So you're not sure who else would be able to digest all this information and then be able to practically apply it. It's so much information that would take somebody multiple lifetimes to go ahead and do, unless they have a computer core the size of a Federation starship. And those, you can't buy those at the black market. So whoever wrote these papers is clearly involved with this process in some significant fashion.
And are these papers written by Bragoff, or is this his personal research? Or
this is his personal research from when he was at the Daystrom Institute. And you were not yet on the Delanus Christian yet. So when you look into the author of these papers, what you find is that basically he is currently imprisoned on grounds of treason and won't be getting out. Like treason among other charges. Treason, research in violation of numerous Federation and non-Federation treaties and accords. Multiple Federation and non-Federation systems consider him a fugitive. That sort of thing.
Oh, how long ago was he supposed to be in prison?
Oh, he is indeed. The reports say that he is indeed imprisoned. Probably about a year ago.
So it's plausible that he created this, set it free, and then got imprisoned.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That is a very plausible possibility.
With the data that I got, would I be able to discern what focus that he had as far as like a strategy of using this as a weapon?
You would need to. So his writings, I need you to roll for that because it would be buried in the notes and everything like that, but you'd have to know what you were looking for. And this isn't going to be like a sciencey thing. It's going to be in his personal writings to see if you can determine his mental state. So I would say that would be something like maybe like insight security, judge whether they're a threat or not by trying to go ahead and interpret their mental state, something like that. Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, I think that's probably my best.
Insight, security?
Yeah.
How many momentum do we have? Can I use a momentum on this?
You certainly can use momentum. There is, where'd my momentum go? There it is. You have 5 momentum. I'm in fact going to spend 2 threat to increase the complication range. Because again, this is outside of your kind of realm of expertise. And so the complication range on this is going to be 18 to 20.
Okay. So I need 3 successes.
Yep.
I'm rolling 3 dice.
And yeah, you spent 1 threat. Is that
one momentum?
One momentum. That, yeah, see what I did there? So
tricky. I know you're spending the threat like candy. So
yeah.
And most of my stuff won't really help me because it's all very science.
Yep. If you wanted to roll 4 dice, you could spend 2 more momentum or give me 2 threat. Your choice. But that would give you 4 dice for 3 successes.
I don't know. Do we think that's worth it? Can I outsource?
Yeah, but then you have another chance of rolling 18, 19, or 20 is what Josh is doing to you.
It's true. That's,
Okay. I'm going to stick with the 3 and just hope for the best.
Okay.
Can't you get help from the computer on this?
She's trying to read basically his personal notes, so to try to determine his mental state about why he would be what his motivation is.
Computer has all kinds of files on psychology and things like that.
Yeah, what about AI?
If you'd like to have the computer roll, that's fine. It's going to have the same complication range.
Oh, fair enough.
So it's still a 4th day, so with less chance of success.
If she's doing a psychological, could she get an assistant from someone in the medical department?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Again, that's a really good idea.
It's still
a 4th die, yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make the complication range go any smaller.
So if I were to roll 3 dice and get a complication and 2 successes, then I don't succeed. Correct. If I were to roll 4 dice and get a complication but 3 successes, that means that I succeed, but something
still gets complication. Yeah.
Would I get the complication if I fail?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I personally think that the success and a complication is better than a failure and a complication.
Yeah, okay. Let's get some medical assistance.
Sure.
And
all right, let's see. Let's pull up let's see who we've got.
Najar could assist.
Dr. New.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you go to
Najar could assist. He's fully read in. Has a 4 in medicine. That's his second. Yep. His secondary. And focuses in criminal psychology and behavior analysis.
Yeah. And he also, you were in the episode when you met Bragoff. So do you not brag up. So do you remember anything about his motivation?
About his motivation? For the subspace weapon, he never revealed much about that. But he did have a very heavy revenge motivation and angry streak. Najar knows things about him. He cracked his case, sent him to prison, spoke to him at length.
There is a specific reason that he mentioned a couple of times.
The player Glenn does not remember, but Najar probably would.
I believe he did mention money several times.
You're not here, Tanari. You can't give that information.
Sorry.
You and Joe, both be quiet. I will shut off your video.
I know his reputation was really important to him, and getting credit for his work was really important to him, and that was part of the problem with the lady he was trying to kill.
All right. Go ahead and make your roll, and then you can make your assistance.
All right. So I got... Well, this one's close. I'm not sure if I made it or not. Okay. I got 2 successes and 1 19.
Okay, cool. So you got my complication. Fabulous.
I rolled a 3, which is a critical, so that gets us 2 more successes.
Okay, cool. So you succeeded on the challenge, and you gained a momentum. Oh, that's right.
Roll your untapped potential, Lacey, a D6.
Isn't that only on science stuff, though? Okay.
Hey, Lacey. Earlier when you were talking about things, did you say you have bold science? Okay. Bold science, just so you're aware, when you buy your die, if you buy it with threat, which is why I spend threats to do it, and you're working on a science task, then you get 1 reroll, which would allow you to reroll the complication. Just for future reference. Yeah. That first die that only cost 1.
I thought I couldn't use that on this because it was a little off of the science realm on this specific task.
This task isn't fair. Science, but the last one is, right?
The last one was, and I...
Yep. Fair. Mechanically, I just wanted to make sure you realize that going with threat for the free... That's not free, but for the cost of 1 die gets you a reroll.
Yeah, no, I super appreciate that. Thank you. I rolled a 2 on the D6.
We get 2 bonus momentum.
Cool. Excellent. You can only have 1 more because you are back up to 6.
But can we immediately spend those 2 momentum to remove the complication she just rolled?
Does it actually work that way? It does work that way, doesn't it?
It doesn't have to work that way, but mechanically that's how it works because a scene trait, a complication trait is a 2 threat spend, 2 momentum to...
So you could.
Josh is going to flip the table. He's like, I read this complication.
No. I always want complications. Don't get me wrong. If you'd like to spend your momentum to do that, you certainly
especially
could.
With that ability to be able to generate the extra momentum, I think that's like an ideal use of it.
All right, personally. Let's do that. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Josh, if you want the complications, have me roll for the extra people.
I'm trying to. You went over to the other boat.
So, Josh, we generated 7, and then we spent, so we should be at 5.
Okay. Right. Oh, that's right. I forgot that even... Yeah, that's right, because even though...
Because you generate it and you get an opportunity to spend it before it gets lost.
Yeah. So you generated 2 and spent 2, so you're back at 5. Yep. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So yeah, what you learn, and Joe was absolutely 100%, as you read through his documentation, his personal notes basically, what you interpret from his writings is a... growing frustration with the politicization of the Daystrom Institute, the lack of ability to get funding, the lack of support for his research, the lack of understanding about how important his research would be, that if Starfleet would just use it, they could, things like the Dominion War wouldn't happen anymore because they could control the battlefield from the very beginning. So it's like growing frustration that drives him to the black market. And that while he doesn't in any of his like official notes that were in possession of the Daystrom Institute, you see this like increasing trajectory of like frustration, anger, and then he never mentions it again. About 2 years before Preservations begins with a conference where he comes in to go ahead and give a presentation on subspace technologies. He just never mentions anything like that. His notes become like very cursory. Made a breakthrough on subspace protocol 576-A today. That breakthrough was that kind of thing, right? They become very kind of curt and scientifically specific, where up until that point, they had been very flowery and like long and drawn out about how like frustrated he was by the system and everything like that.
Yeah, he found his buyer basically 2 years ago. Narilla, it looks like we've pinpointed when he turned. Did you notice anything in there that mentioned anything about who the buyer might have been? Or who his supporters might have become?
It sounds like we didn't, right?
Sounds like what now?
There was no mention of who a buyer was. Like, it was just very sudden.
Exactly. It was noticeably sudden. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this definitely sounds like Bragoff. He's a very angry man.
Didn't have the pleasure to meet him.
Yeah. So the other thing that, as you're running through the models, that the computer says is that it, like, cross-references to a project that Tanari had been working on about augmenting the Delamis Christians' sensors for identification on a planetary scale. Basically the ability to go ahead and modify the protocol, which has been loaded into several hand scanners, try to work them into the sensor array of the ship as a whole. It, like, addendums into that sort of thing, as if there's some information that could be valuable on that. Tanari, you probably on your pad, you probably get like a ding that says something like, "Oh, a breakthrough just happened." You know. Oh, look at that. Why was worked on my extended challenge? That's weird. The other thing, and Najar, you would probably get this on, again, based on what Tanari had hooked up, on your security protocol, which is currently tracking Jakar, the new data that was just loaded into the system before it could be locked out, or actually, you guys were able to lock it out in time so he couldn't get it. Basically, the security protocols got enacted before he could access them, but he definitely tried. As the new data was coming in, he tried to go ahead and access it. But the security protocol, assuming that these were not files which he was going to get access to?
Correct.
Yeah. He was not able to access them. He tried to, but he couldn't access them. And he didn't try after he was, like, blocked out. He didn't try again. He didn't try to, like, circumvent the security protocols or anything like that. He basically saw a new document, tried to open it, and then moved on. So I would say probably Tanari, that would have registered as, like, a yellow alert in your red, green, yellow. So... All right, let's go back to the Tamarari.
So taking something from the second edition quick start guide.
Yeah, I like it.
I've incorporated the pastime of cuisine into
lore. Excellent.
Which actually dovetails nicely with my xenoanthropology. So he...
Oh, you do have xenoanthropology.
Yes. He loves alien cuisine, and he just eats everything alien that he can possibly get. And for modern listeners, he's like the Anthony Bourdain of Starfleet. What does the cuisine tell about the species and the culture?
I love
it. That's what he's fascinated by. So he's anything that is from this new planet, he asks the two guests, what are your dishes?
Yep.
While Hubbard is doing that and grabbing everyone's attention, Tanari will pull out one of his tricorders and do a scan of the people in the room.
Ooh, I like it.
Asked if y'all had scanned anybody over there earlier, but I wasn't there, so I didn't.
Yeah. Are you trying to be sneaky about that?
Yes.
Okay. So then I'm going to need you to make two difficulty. Absolutely would be an opposed rule. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Yep. Yes. Give me... All right. Yeah, it's going to be an opposed rule. Man, there are... So I want you to tell me, so there are, let's see, hold on a second here. There are two of the Zunians in the room, and there are, say, four, and there are two of the Temeraries crew, the captain and their XO are in the room. So do you wish to scan all four of them?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the way that we're going to go about this then.
I have a suggestion if I can throw it out there.
Sure, yeah.
So for each person additional that's being attempted to scan, it would increase the complication range?
It would.
We get the complication, someone notices and gets mad.
That's exactly what I was going to say, exactly. So what I'm, and to be coy here again, yeah, you know what, maybe we do it as one challenge. I will let you scan, I'm gonna let you call one challenge. If you want to scan all four of them, basically it would increase the complication range. It's gonna make it a factor four complication range because there's four of them. So it's 17, 18, 19, 20. And it's a
Three extra from the first guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Sure.
So 16
three
to extra. 20. So,
we'll do 18 to 20 because you'll get one for free, okay. Right? You can, but it's basically 17 to 20, and it's a difficulty 2 challenge.
All right.
And I need you. And what's your? How do you want to be sneaky?
I'm going to make an argument because I'm doing this in the middle of a banquet mm-hmm. of daring engineering because I'm being very daring.
So are you almost trying to be like, hey, you should check out the new tricorders that we've got on the Dalaman. You guys, you Zumerians probably haven't seen anything. Look at what they can do. Something like that.
Yeah, why not?
I think that sounds like daring engineering to me. You're not very sneaky at all.
That sounds very Tanari.
Yeah, it sounds very Tanari. All right, it'll be at the increased difficulty range. Never mind. I'm not going to do it a post. But just see if you can complete it. Yeah.
Spend a threat for an extra dice.
I like it.
I don't believe I have any focuses that come into this.
All right, cool. All right, so let me know what you got. And you've got bold engineering too, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you sneak. Yes, man.
14, 11, and 7, so that's 3 successes.
Okay. Do you want to reroll any of them?
No.
No, you don't. Okay.
Because they're all 3 successes.
Yeah. I figured I'd ask. You've got the shot. Okay, so you very much hiding in plain sight. Hey, look at the new tricorders. And the Zumerians seem fascinated by it. Like, haven't seen technology that's that updated in quite some time. Grigoff enjoys the show, right? He's like leaning in. Oh, yeah, those are good ones. You got the slim models, Tanari. Fabulous.
You got the purple stripe. Ooh.
So, if one of them pops, what happens? Tell me the effect that happens on the tricorder if one of them registers as a...
It's designed to be subtle since this is an emergency thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there's probably... The tricorders have the normal kind of color things on there.
Yeah.
Some of the readings probably turn purple.
Okay. Yep. I like it. So... As you are, like, scanning across the room, the two officers from the Tamarari, they register just fine. Chief Engineer Zixar registers just fine. Ralik turns purple. I am going to...
Spend 5 threat?
Nope. No, I am not. I am not going to spend 5 threat. However... So, Captain Grigoff, as you are doing this in, like, plain sight of everybody, cocks his head at you a little bit, like he doesn't understand what the tricorder screen means.
Okay.
Yes, Jeff.
Can I notice both of this?
Yeah, like he's, again...
Order Tanari, like, whoa, and then flashes the purple, like, past...
Yeah,
like,
I would say you know what he's doing. So you would definitely be keying in on the tricorder screen on the way back as he's doing the thing. And you do also notice Captain Grigoff cock his head. Again, almost like he sees something that he just doesn't understand, but he's not like asking about it. He's not like raising his face or, hey, that's or anything like that.
Just enough technical knowledge to know that's an unusual reading.
He has just enough technical knowledge to know that's an unusual reading, and it was different than the other three. That's the thing that really more keyed off him. He doesn't know what it means. He doesn't know what you were scanning. He doesn't know what you were scanning. He doesn't know anything. He just knows that one of them registered different than everybody else.